Okay, morning. Today's daf in Shabbos is daf Tzadi. God willing, we're going to finish up today the ninth parak of Shabbos, and we begin with a Mishnah. We're going back to the topic which we started already in the eighth parak, and it's taken up the end of the seventh parak, the entirety of the eighth parak, and now we resume with Shirim. We want to know how much to carry on Shabbos in order to be Chayav Karban Chatos. Presumably, if I carry less than that amount, it's still going to be Aser. Chatzi Shir, Aser Min HaTorah, we talked about this earlier. Maybe we don't say Chatzi Shir when it comes to Hotzah, but whatever the case is. But we're going to talk about the Shirim, how much of it becomes significant, so that if I carry it on Shabbos, I'm going to be Chayiv. So Hamotzi ate them, so the Mishnah begins, that if I carry wood, enough wood to fuel the roasting of an egg, the frying of an egg, the Mishnah describes as Beit Zekala. Light egg. Light egg as opposed to heavy egg. So we already discussed this before. Rashi reminds us. We saw this back on Daf Pei. When we say light egg, we mean a chicken egg. Chicken egg is it's an easy egg to cook. It's a light egg to cook. How much of the chicken egg are we talking about? So Rashi says we're talking about the grogerus of a chicken egg. So enough wood in order to fuel a pan, in order to cook a grogerus of a chicken egg. You can't get more specific than that. In terms of spices, how much spices? So the Gemara says, enough to spice the egg. In other words, anyone who fries eggs, you know it needs something on it. Salt, pepper, anything, something.
The whole egg or the
grogers? I assume the grogers, as long as we're being specific. And the mitzarif. Now the mitzarif over here is talking about the spices, meaning, obviously when I go into my spice drawer, so I take a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So this and that are going to be mitzarif one with another. In other words, then the Gemara is going to make the point later on. They have to be spices that are trying to create the same sense. Meaning they are there to sweeten, they're there to salty it. Okay. You'll see the Gemara later on. Klipe goes in Klipe Ramonim Istinupua. Shells, nutshells, pomegranate shells. Okay, what are these shells worth? Why would I be chai for carrying them? We're not talking about the fruit. We're talking about the shells of the fruit. So Rashi points out that they're there for the purpose of dyeing, meaning that with the pomegranate shell, you're going to be extracting the color from it. So in other words, it's used for the purposes of dyeing. So klipe rimonim, klipe gozim, istim, and puah, kedelitz, fobem, begit, katan, pi, sivacha. So the Mishnah says, how much of it do we need to take on Shabbos in order to be chai for karban chatos? So you need to carry enough to dye the small tichel of a woman, her head covering. Remember, we talked about this back in the sixth parak of Shabbos, where the Mishnayos over there talk about what a woman, what's considered clothing for the woman. So the piece svacha was basically her headdress, what she put on her head. So enough dyeing in order to color that. And now the Mishnah turns to a whole bunch of minerals, detergents, astringents, things that cleanse. So urine, neser, baris, kamuya, ve'ashleg. The Gemara is going to try to help us understand what these items are. Anyway, but they all are detergents. You carry enough of it on Shabbos in order to clean, to cleanse, to launder this svacha. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kedei Lahavir Asa Kesem. Rabbi Yehuda says enough to remove the kesem. The kesem is a stain of a woman where we not only is a woman tameya, but the actual dam itself is tameh. How do you expunge the blood from the clothing that she was wearing? So you have to apply these detergents. These detergents go ahead successfully, expunge and clean the blood from the detergent. You remember the Mishnah Nida. The Mishnah Nida gave us in unbelievable detail how exactly the process was done, where the seven samamanim, the seven detergents, are placed on the stain. In the meantime, however, according to Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah, that becomes the amount that's significant. The amount that takes off the kesem becomes the shear in terms of what is significant to carry on Shabbos. The Gemara asks a couple of very short punctuated questions. Tanita Chalazimna. Our first question is wood. Our Mishnah opens up with a discussion of how much wood to carry. We've been here, we've done that already in the Masechta. Back on Daf Pei, we talked about carrying reeds on Shabbos. And we talked about carrying reeds. We said, if you can't write with the reed, if the reed is not fit for a kolmos, so basically enough to fuel a fire in order to cook an egg. So kana kedelasos koma imayava marusas kedelavasho beitzakala shebebeitim trufa unasuna beilfus. So the Mishnah already told us that enough fuel to fire an egg. Ma'udetemahasamudolochazalamidi. So the Gemara says, okay, look, by reeds, which I can't make into a quill, so there, the only thing left to do with it is to use it as fuel for the fire. But I might have thought, says the Gemara, that when it comes to eitzim, wood, well, wood I could use as keys, as teeth for the keys. So in other words, a very small shear of wood would be chayv because I could turn that into teeth for the keys, and therefore the shear may in fact be smaller. And that's the chiddush of our Mishnah. No, that when it comes to wood, still the shear is going to be the same shear. Tavla kadela tavla beitzakala, now we're talking about our spices, ruminu. So the Gemara says, I have a problem based on a Mishnah in Arla. The Mishnah in Arla says, Tavla shayim v'gimel shemos mimin echad o mishlosh aminim, asurin u'mitztarfim ze'im ze'im. So the Mishnah sounds good, meaning so far it doesn't sound like there's any difference between our Mishnah and Shabbos and the Mishnah and Arla. The Mishnah and Arla is talking about a different issue, obviously. It's talking about Arla, growth that comes off of a tree after it's planted. And for the first 3 years of its life is Asur. You're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to get benefit from it. This is the Asur of Arla. And the Mishnah over there says that if I have two or three different types of spices, they are prohibited, and they will combine. Mitzarf zeim ze. Good. So that's the same thing that we learned in our Mishnah as well. Here's the problem. Amr Chizkiya, b'mine mesika shanu. That Mishnah in Arla is only talking about spices combining if they're coming to do the same general purpose, meaning to sweeten the food. But if one spice is to sweeten the food, the other spice is to make it salty. Or in other words, they are not complementary spices. So then they do not combine. Ho veru in lamase kedera. So taima de chazal lamase ketakedera. So Chizkiah's comment on the Mishnah Arla is that spices combine only when they're coming to create the same type of effect. But halav achila. But if they're not coming for the same effect, they don't combine. Gemara gives a very simple answer. Hachinami chazal lamase. Our Mishnah over here, when our Mishnah talks about spices combining, we're going to put the same qualification, where they're combining in order to create that same basic effect, to sweeten the pot. The Gemara has a problem because Hamotzi Simanim Shruyim Kedei Litzva Behem Dugma Le'ira. Because previously we learnt in our Masechta that shells of this growth, if they're already soaked in water, so in other words, I have now the actual dye, so then how much would I be chayef if I carried it on Shabbos? So we said earlier, enough just to make a sample, a swatch, which is a very small shear. I don't know exactly how much it is, but it is much less than what we're describing over here. We're describing in our Mishnah enough so that you could dye the headdress of a woman. And meanwhile, earlier, we talked about just making a swatch, just enough dye for a swatch. So our Mishnah over here doesn't seem to coordinate with the Mishnah that we learned previously. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Abarvu, lefi shein adam terech lishros hamamanim litzvah behem dugma le'ira. So the Gemara gives an answer. We saw this answer already earlier. And basically, look, all I have is a raw material, but I haven't soaked it yet, I haven't made it yet, so it's not going to be worth my time and my trouble to sit there and to make dye just to dye a little swatch. It's not going to be worth it. So in other words, the minimum amount of the raw material that I have to carry in order to be chayiv is enough to dye this little cap of the woman, because then and only then is it going to be worth it for me to dye it. Once it's dyed already, meaning once I have now the dye, and now it's just a question of applying it to a garment, so then I'm not in the processing of it. It's already been made, and now even a small amount, you'll be chayv. What that small amount is? Enough to make a sample swatch. Meiraglayim, now we are discussing the chemicals, the detergent chemicals. So the first detergent chemical is urine. Urine is a fantastic detergent, says the Mishnah. So Tana Meiraglayim Ad Ben Mem Yom, it's got to be coming out of an infant, up to 40 days. Neser Tana Neser, Alexandros Aloneser, An Pantarin. The Bryce over here is very specific. When we talk about Neser, it has to come from Egypt and not from An Pantarin. Can't help you any more than that. It's the name of a place. Boris, we're talking now about the sulfur. I'm Rav Yehuda Zechol. So Rav Yehuda says it's sand. V'atanya chabors v'achol. The Brisa says boris and chol makes it sound like they're two different items. Elamai boris kavrisa. So it's kavrisa and kavrisa. Perhaps that's what I described earlier when I said sulfur. Anyway, it's a type of mineral. So Meisr, the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is that now you're saying that when our Mishnah talks about boris, it's talking about kavrisa, and you're saying that's a mineral. It's sulfur. Meisr osifan aleim achal tzivin v'ha. Le'inin v'haboris va'oal. A Mishnah in Shviyas tells us what they added. Vegetation that they added to the Isser of Shviyas. Now Shviyas applies only to any type of growth that is edible, or at least somewhat edible. So these items are on the border. The roots of these items are edible. We're talking about thistles and wormwood and whatever. The point being is that in this list of items that are included in the Isser of Shviyas is boris. Now, if you're telling me that boris is a sulfur, which is really a mineral, there's no way, it's not on the border. Meaning it would not be in the conversation of Shviyas. And how can the Brisa say that they added this to Shviyas? It's like saying, you see that stone on the ground? There's an Isser Shviyas on that stone on the ground. It's not a vegetation, it's not a growth, it's a mineral. Here we go over some basic rules in terms of what growth is subject to Shviyas. It's got to have a root. It's got to be vegetable. It can't be mineral. It has to have a root going into the ground. So therefore, if boris is kavrisa, it can't be, because boris is also subject to shvius. Elamai boris alo. So the Gemara says, you know what boris is alo. Boris is alo. It's the same. V'atanya v'aboris v'alo. The problem is the Brisa counts as two separate things. So the Gemara says tre gavde alo. Two types of aloes. The regular alo. The boris alo. Anyway, it works out good, though, because now you go back to that Brisa regarding Shviyas, and now aloe is a plant, and somewhat edible. The root is edible, Echveznish. But the point being, though, that now we kind of have it worked out. Kimula. Amar Rav Yehuda Shluf Dots. Okay, it helped maybe one person in this room? Maybe. And Rashi also, Rashi just simply says, I don't know what it is. The Gemara is not really explaining what it is. The Gemara is just simply giving us another name that may help us recognize what the Kimuli is. Ashleg Amr Shmuel Shaltin Lechon Nechuseyama. When it comes to Ashleg, Shmuel says, I asked the travelers, the sailors, and V'amrali Shunana Shmei. So they said, you know what Ashleg is? It's the same thing as Shunana. Mishtakech benukva demarganisa. And what you'll do is you'll find it in the holes of the pearls. Umafkele bemarza de parzala. You open it up with an iron instrument. It's like a fork or whatever. It's some hard iron instrument that opens up the shell. And that is how you're going to be able to extract the Ashleg, and it's a great detergent. Okay, moving on. We're up to the next Mishnah. Ba'pelas kolshehu, pepper. Any amount of pepper, you're going to be chayiv. Now, why should it be any amount? Pepper is a spice. Now, and by spices, we noted earlier that the amount that you would take to spice an egg. So why over here, when it says pilpel, talking about pepper, so it says kolshehu. So first of all, Rashi points out, this isn't dar pepper, meaning it's not. We're not talking about the peppercorn. Nor are we talking about the green peppers as well. We're talking about, it was a particular pungent type of spice, and it gave off an odor, a smell. Okay, maybe. I'll accept that. The Itran kolshu, and then when it comes to Itran, any amount of Itran as well. You'd be chayv, and again, the Gemara is going to ask, why is it that you're going to be chayv for any amount, both on the pilpul and on the Itran? Mine besamim, when it comes to spices, mine matchos, when it comes to metals, kolshu, kolshahin. Any amount. May avne mezbech, may afar mezbech, makak svar makak mitpachem kol shehu. Stones of the mezbech, dust of the mezbech, worn out svarim and worn out mantles for the svarim. Any amount you'd be chayev. The Gemara later on is going to point out the reason why the shear is any amount is because you have to put them in geniza. Meaning once the Mizbeach is worn out, once you have dust on the Mizbeach, so you need to throw it into the Geniza. So therefore, the shear is a kol shehu. Matzino sa legon zan. I'm sorry, I said the Gemara mentions it. Of course, by what I meant by that is the Mishnah mentions it. Rav Yehuda amar afa motzi misham she'avodah zara. Now, if you carry out misham she'avodah zara, now I'm not really sure who's going to be carrying it out on Shabbos, but that's not the point. Point being is that if you carry it out on Shabbos, so any amount you'll be chayav. Why? Misham she'nemar v'lo yidbak be'yadcha me'uma min acherim. Because the Torah, when describing the Easter of Avodah Zarah and Tashmish Avodah Zarah, says none of it. Meaning any amount becomes Easter, since any amount is Aser, so therefore any amount is significant. Not in a positive way, in a negative way, but still, it's significant. And so therefore the shear of carrying Avodah Zarah, Tashmish Avodah Zarah, will be a Kol Shehu. Okay, the Gemara attacks our Mishnah point by point. They would take this pilpel, whatever it is, it's not peppercorn, maybe jalapeno, hard to imagine. Anyway, whatever it is. And what they would do is they would put it in their mouth and it would somehow negate the bad breath. So because any amount of it was efficacious in terms of removing the bad breath, so therefore you're going to be chayiv even if you carry out any amount. Itran kol shula maichazei l'tzlichata. It's good for migraine headaches. Rashi describes, there are different types of headaches. Rashi says, ke'ev chatzi harosh, half a headache. Light headache. One side. Splitting headache. Okay. Taking out reach ra, the any amount, shemen tov, kol shehu, a pleasant odor, kol shehu, argamon kol shehu. Now, argamon is interesting. Argamon usually is a reference to a dye. And so Rashi kind of throws his hands up in the air, and Rashi says, I'm not really sure why the shear should be a kol shehu, because we talked about dyes in the previous Mishnah, and we said that the amount that you have to carry when it comes to a dye is enough to dye a hat. So why the Bryce over here says that argument is kol shehu, so Rashi really struggles with that. Rashi does offer a pshat. You want to see Rashi inside? I'll read. Argument 7 should seven bar argument. V'taima lo is paresh. I don't understand why, says Rashi. V'li nira, I'll suggest, shigam hu roi lahariach. So maybe the argument produces a good smell, perhaps. But Rashi's saying, but he's, that's him suggesting. Uvesulas averet achas. And Besul Savered, what exactly that is, I'm not sure. Rashi says it's the petal of a rose, young rose. Apparently, it gives off a good odor. So the Gemara says, why metal? Any amount of metal. So what good is a small amount of metal? So Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Amer, Shikain Roy Lasos Mimenu Darban Katan. You can make a very small goad with metal. Okay, you have that picture of the of in the old days in the Western movies, so they had that little spur on their feet. So in other words, just the smallest amount of metal can be used to goad an animal. If you make a pledge, and you say, I'm giving Barzel to the Beis HaMikdash, so now you have a neder, you have formalized a neder, and you're on the hook to bring Barzel. How much Barzel must you bring in order to be... in order to be chayev, so acherim omrim lo yifchos me'amal ama, a square ama of iron. So the Gemara says lamai chazyam Rav Yosef lakaya orev. So it's good because what the Beit Hamikdash will use for it is kaya orev. They're going to make the spikes on the top of the Beit Hamikdash. Should sound familiar. We've described this already a number of times in Shas.
So this can't be the scarecrow.
Here we go. Here we go again, describing that on the Beis HaMikdash on the very top, so you'll notice that ravens like to perch on high places. The Beis HaMikdash was extraordinarily high. The second Beis HaMikdash went 100 amas into the air. It's about 20 stories, approximately. The ravens would obviously like to perch on top of it. So what they would do is they would create spikes. They would actually build spikes on the very top of the edifice. The Mishnah and the Mishnayos and Midos describe it, and that would be done in order to get the ravens away. What Stu is alluding to is that there is a pshat over there in that Mishnah Midos I'd like to say it's a Rambam, but I didn't look it up, so I got to double check. That says that the Kali Arav is actually a scarecrow. A scarecrow went on the top of the Beis HaMikdash, which creates a really unusual visual, where you have actually on the top of the Beis HaMikdash the scarecrow. Yeah, right. Kali Arav, it makes for great discussion. Tosfos over here discusses it really briefly. Was the Kali Arav on the first Beis HaMikdash, or was it only on the second Beis HaMikdash? So Tosfos over here addresses it just very briefly. Ba'arach Merach called Perish and Bemikdash Rishon Imne Rov Kedusha Shaisa Bo Lo Havatzarech Kali Arav. So Tosfos quotes the Aruch, an early commentary to the Gemara, and the Aruch says that they didn't have it by the first Beis HaMikdash. They didn't need it by the first Beis HaMikdash. First Beis HaMikdash had a lot of Kedusha in it, and so therefore no raven would actually perch on the top of the Beis HaMikdash. The second Beis HaMikdash, which did not have as much Kedusha, so the...
It's interesting because they talk about these 10 miracles that happened on the Beis HaMikdash on the day 3, so why wasn't this one of them that was protected from
the first?
This is not one of them? This is not one of the 10? I don't remember. Okay, but anyway, but Tosfos over here says that they didn't have it by the first Beis HaMikdash. They didn't need it. Okay, the difference between the first and the second. You want to read more about it here? You can read read the article. So anyway, so the Gemara says, I'm sorry, so we're back to the Gemara. So Kalya Orev. So now the Kalya Orev dimensions is an Amma by an Amma. Now, we're just going to say the same thing. We're just going to flip the way we're going to say it. Don't bring less than the Kalya Orev, the Kama Amar Rav Yosef, it's one Amma by one Amma. So if you're on the hook, if you pledge to bring iron to the Beis HaMikdash, minimally you must bring at least an Amma by an Amma. Nechoshes, lo yivchos mima kesef. Now, if you say you're going to bring copper to the Beis HaMikdash, so not less than ma'a kesef. It's a coin. Tanya Rebbe Lazar Omer lo yivchos mitzinor katana. A small copper fork. Shel nechoshel. So my chazi amar baye, shemechatetin basa, pesilos umekan chananeros. Because these small forks are excellent in terms of extracting the wicks from yesterday's menorah. So, okay. Why are we discussing this over here? Because I guess it just kind of got us on topic. We're talking about carrying metal on Shabbos. Any amount of metal significant. So then I guess it led us to this discussion of copper and iron for the Beis HaMikdash and the smallest amount that's significant for the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Maka Ksveri Maka Mitzvachos Amrav Yehuda. Yeah. Maka Ksifrei Tachach Dishirai. The Eli, the Ela. Okay, now why do books wear down? So so first of all, just everything wears down. Okay, second law of thermodynamics. I mean, okay, and also back then they had worms. So the assumption of the Gemara is that really what creates all the wearing down of the Sfarim are the worms. So Makak Desifrei. Tachach. Dishirai, now what wears down your silk? Ela. Deinva, what wears your grapes down is, deinva upe, that's the name of it.
Worm.
De te'ene vahe, de rimone kulu, vehe de rimone. Did I mix it up?
No, it's worms with pomegranates.
Okay, it's, the hay goes before the rimonim. Yeah, I did mix it up. Anyway. Okay, we're identifying, let's just get straight what's happening right now. We're identifying the names of these worms that attack these various items. Right, certain worms attack, I mixed it up. It's Maka Kasfarim, it's Tachach of Shirayim, it's Elav Inve, it's Peh of Te'ini, it's Hey of Rimoni. Okay. Kul Sakanta, now, don't eat any of them. Now, it's interesting. You'd say don't eat any of them because it's Aser.
Don't intentionally eat.
Right. In other words, it's Shratzim and it's Aser. So, correct. In other words, but maybe, it's funny, the Gemara doesn't address this at all. Maybe it's Aser, and on top of that also, it presents a Sakana. It's dangerous. He was eating these figs, Amar Lei Rebbe. Kotzi Yish B'Teinim. So he says they're coaching in the Tainim. So Amalei Katle Peladain. So he says, don't worry, my mouth ends up killing them. Now, it could be that these worms are not usher. This is just, I'm making a suggestion right now. Take it for what it's worth. It could be that these worms are not usher because these worms grew together with the fig. Meaning we learned it together in Chulin that only the only worms that become usher are worms that are hitting the ground. But if the worms do not hit the ground, but they actually grow inside the fig, so that means that the egg is actually laid in the fig and the worms grow in the fig. So from an Isser standpoint, those worms are not usher. And the point Argamar is making is they may not be usher, but boy, are they dangerous. Rashi describes that they actually cut a hole in your esophagus. Rashi says, Hayatolas Yoshev and Noke Begrono, Vidomashu coats. It's kind of like thorns. It's like swallowing thorns. And apparently what Rav Yochanan says is that if that's only true if they're alive, but once they're dead, they don't pose a danger anymore. Okay, we start the next Mishnah. Huh?
It's not supposed to feed them.
Again, it could be that the worms. All right, just leave it off. You're right. Good. Hamotzi kupas arochel alfa pishesh beimina mahar beino chayv el achatas achas. Okay, your spice peddler. So he go around with a big box. Right, he had it tied to his neck. Right, you go to the ball game. Right, you have the picture of the guy holding the beer in that big container. Okay, so the kupas haroklin, so there may be a lot of spices in there, but the Mishnah's point is that when he carries it, it's viewed as one entity, and you're chayav one carbon chatas for carrying on Shabbos. Zirinagina pelchos megrogeris. Now, carrying seeds on Shabbos, so seeds is less than a grogeris. Of all the shirim that we've gone through, and we've gone through a lot of them, and we're arriving at the end of this discussion. Arriving at the end. We're not there yet. But it's funny, we have given so far over the course of these last three prakim very specific shiurim. Here when we talk about carrying the seeds on Shabbos, so when you carry seeds, it's the amount that you're going to be chayv is going to be a little bit less than a grogeris. Okay, not too specific, but in other words, the point being is that seeds are very significant, obviously. In other words, seeds is what creates the produce, and so therefore you're going to be chayv even if it's less than a grogeris. Tanakama does not say how much less. Rav Yehuda ben Mesera Omer Chamisha Zera. So Rav Yehuda ben Mesera says five seeds. All you need to do is to be chayiv is to carry five seeds, and you will be chayiv for carrying seeds on Shabbos. Now, it could be that Rav Yehuda ben Mesera is explaining the Tanakama. Could be, but I don't know. That doesn't sound like how the Mishnah is working. On top of the next Amud, Zerik Kishu and Shnayim. Now, cucumber seeds apparently are very significant, and so therefore you're going to be chayif if you carry the cucumber seeds, even just two seeds. Zerik Dilum Shnayim. Same thing with gourd seeds, very significant. Two is chayif. Zerik Pula Mitzri Shnayim. Same thing is true regarding the Egyptian bean. Seeds of this Egyptian bean are just two. Chagav Chai Tahor. Now, our grasshoppers. If it's a live grasshopper, kol shehu, any amount of it, you're going to be chayev. Mace, kigrogris. Now, if it's dead, so we're not going to play with the grasshopper anymore, but we are going to eat it. Grasshoppers are kosher. We'll get to that in just a moment. Grasshoppers are kosher. The problem that we've had for the last... Correct. Well, not all of them, but some of them. A problem we've had, especially as Ashkenazim, but I think Sfarnim as well, have this similar problem, is that we don't have Mesura. We no longer have the tradition of which grasshoppers it is, so we refrain from eating any grasshopper. Even the ones that we think are kosher, but we simply do not know, we don't have Mesura. But nevertheless, though, the grasshopper was kosher, so if the grasshopper is alive any amount, and if it's dead, so now all I'm left to do is eating it, meaning it's food, so it's meat. It's protein. So you go back to the shear, the classic shear of food, which is a grogeris. Tziporas krumim. Now I know it sounds like a bird, but it's a type of locust. Bein chayav bein mesa kol shehu. And this grasshopper, any amount of it is going to be chayav. This is a special grasshopper, and you're going to see in a moment what makes it so special. The Mishnah kind of like alludes to it, but the Mishnah doesn't explain a lot. Shematznina sala refuah is used for medicinal purposes. I know you're not allowed to use medicine on Shabbos, but that's not the point over here. The point is how much of it is significant in order to be chayev. Rav Yehuda Amar Afa Motzi Chagav Chay Tamei Kol Shehu Shematznina sala katan lasachik bo. Now Rav Yehuda says as far as these grasshoppers are concerned, even if it's a not kosher type, you know what you do with it? You take a grasshopper that you find it's dead, and you bring it home with you, because your kid was going to want to play with it. And so as a good father, what you're going to do, you don't need to trap it, it's dead. Makes it easier. I'm sorry, you're correct, I'm sorry. You're right, I'm wrong. So if it's alive, as a good father, what you're going to do is you're going to pick it up and you're going to go home with it. And you're going to give it to your kid. So therefore, any amount of it is going to be is significant, and therefore you're going to be chayv. If it's dead, I mean, your kid's going to want to play with a dead grasshopper. I mean, the answer also is yes, but apparently that wasn't special enough. Okay, we'll come back to the grasshopper talk in just a second. Ve'imenu zeva v'chol adak kedei lezava kelach shel kruv divrei Rabbi Akiva v'chacham ha'omer kedei lezava krisha. We talked about carrying seeds on Shabbos. Now, here's the problem. Our Mishnah says that you have to carry a certain amount. Either according to the Tanna Kamma, a little bit less than a grogris, or according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, 5 seeds. But in other words, it's got to be a certain amount. Meanwhile, when we talked about fertilizing, we said what's significant? Even fertilizing 1 seed is significant. So Amar Rav Papa had zriya had lo zriya lefishin adam tarech lo tzi nima achas lezriya. An answer that we have already went through in the Masechta that we're reviewing, an answer similar to what we mentioned earlier this morning. If the seed's already in the ground, then worth it. Worth it for me to fertilize that 1 seed that's already in the ground because it's going to grow. So I'll go through the trouble fertilizing that 1 seed. But if the seed's not in the ground, and now it's talking about transportation of seed, not worth my time, effort, and energy to carry and transport 1 seed. According to Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, I would need to carry 5 seeds, and according to the Tanna Kamma, it's got to be a little bit less than a grogris. But there's a difference between transporting seeds or once the seed is already in the ground. Zerikishuin ten rabbana motzi garinim imlin tiyashtayim. Okay, seeds, transportation of seeds. So if the purpose of planting the cucumber seeds, so too, like we saw in our Mishnah. Imlachila, if I plan on eating these seeds, now these are not seeds that are eaten by people. These seeds are eaten by animals, and specifically pigs. Kemalei pi chazir. The amount that would fill the mouth of a pig, because the pig is the one who eats these cucumber seeds. Vekama malei pi chazir, achas. And the pig eats 1 of these seeds at a time. Who's got a pig in their house?
Not a Jew.
Yeah. So, that's correct. Not a Jew. So, in fact, Tosus makes this point. Perush. There is a prohibition for a Jew to raise pigs. So in other words, pigs are not asar bahana'a, but you can't make a business out of it. You can't make a business out of selling non-kosher food. Okay? It's its own separate prohibition. Even though there's no isar hana'a of the pig per se. So anyway, so just Tosus points out, it's not for your pig, but whatever. In other words, but still significant. The kama malei pi chazir achas. Im lahasik. Now, if you're going to use this pit as fuel for the fire, pits were excellent fuels. Kedei levasho beitzakala. So it's to cook an egg. Im lacheshbon. Now, if I'm using it for cheshbonos. I forgot what that thing is called. An abacus? Yeah. So when they would count. So in the good old days, before calculators, so they had those abacuses where, abacai, okay, wild guess. Anyway, but you would count and you would use it to mark off how many you counted. So the same thing is true with these cucumber seeds, meaning if these seeds were for the purposes of counting, 2 becomes significant, and there's another opinion that says, no, 5. In other words, I don't need these pits if all I need to remember is a unit of 2. I got that. But once we get to the number 5, that's already confusing, and so therefore I need these pits to help me keep score, keep tally. Tanu Rabbanan Hamotzi Shnei Nimi Mizanav Hasutz and Mizanav HaParah Chayev. Shematzin oso lenishbin. We have a brisa, and the brisa really wraps up other items. Items that we have not explored yet. Horse hair. The hair that comes to the tail of a horse, two hairs that come off the tail of a cow, so they make excellent nets to trap small birds. Maksha shel chazir, those very needle-like hairs of the pig. One hair is significant. You can actually make a needle out of it.
It has hairs?
You're asking me? I hope not. Maksha shel chazir achas, one of them. Tsuri dekel shtayim. Tsuri dekel, Rashi describes the tsuri dekel as being the fronds. The tsarim klupim lasot salam, and they make baskets from these fronds. Two of them would be significant. Ture dekel, they're the thinner ones. They grow from the sieve. That's like that fibrous material that grows on the tree, on the palm tree. So, two. And achas. One becomes significant. Okay, and Rashi's unclear. He's unsure, once again, what it's going to be used for. Siporos kramim ben chaya ben mesa kol shehu. Now, we talk about the special locust. It's called Siporos kramim. I can't help you anymore in terms of identifying what it is. I don't know. But the Gemara says that it is an excellent memory enhancer. Modern medicine today, so this is becoming very, very trendy, especially in the college campuses, of memory enhancement. So they had thought something back in the good old days that enhances memory. Maisi pars kramim amar apalya bi'iri amar abayu mishtakach bedikla dechad navara. Okay, so first of all, identifying where you're going to find it. Okay, you'll find it on a young palm tree. It's not yet wrapped with the sieve, with the fibrous material, and you're going to find this little special locust right hanging around there. V'avdi le'chuchama, and you use it in order to enhance your memory. Rashi describes a liftoach halev. It opens your heart. But Rashi, what Rashi means by that, this is not, Rashi does not mean that it's good for the cardiology. Rashi means that it basically expands your mind. And here, Gemara speaks specifically about how it enhances memory. So what you do is, you divide it half. Now, I'm assuming that this is a kosher grasshopper. Okay?
It's medicinal.
I think the answer is yes. I'm assuming so. I just don't know either way. So I'd like to assume that's kosher. I have to assume it's kosher. But anyway, so what you do is you eat the right half of it. And then what you do is you take the left half of this grasshopper and you put it into a copper tube. And you put 60 seals on top of it. And you hang it under your left arm, your left side. V'simancha, and the way to remember this is Lev Chacham Liyamino, V'Lev Ksil L'Smalo. Now, of course, you need a mnemonic to help you remember, because remember, the whole reason why you're eating it is to help your memory. So, of course, the Gemara's got to give you a mnemonic to help you remember it. And then, V'Chacham Kama Dabaye, V'Gamer Kama Dabaye. And now your mind becomes a sponge. I know this sounds exciting.
Sounds like a drug.
It is a form of a drug, but it just happens to be a natural drug. It happens to be a grasshopper. And then you become, right, you become lucid, you become now a sponge, and you learn whatever you want to learn, and you commit to memory whatever you want to commit to memory. Now, step two, or step three, I don't know who's been counting. You got to eat now the other half of the grasshopper. Because if not, it does not concretize everything that you just learned. I know it's fascinating, but I can't help you any more than what we just did. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afa Motzi V'Tanakama Savar Lo. Now the last debate that we had in our Mishnah was a question of whether or not carrying non-kosher grasshoppers, meaning grasshoppers of the non-kosher species, whether that's significant or not significant. And Rav Yehuda says it is, and the Tanakhama says it's not. So the Gemara says, explains, what's a machlokas? Because here's what happens. If you go home to your son, and you say, here, I gave you a grasshopper to play with. So if you give him a kosher type, so good. So you know what the kid will do? He'll play with it until it's dead. In fact, he'll probably kill it, because, you know, young boys. And then after he kills it, he's going to eat it. So by giving him a kosher grasshopper, so you're fine. Meaning, he'll play with it until it's dead, and then he'll eat it, and you're fine. But if you give him a non-kosher species, he'll play with it, he'll kill it, and then he'll eat it, and then he just violated Isser. Now, let's just be clear about what the Isser actually is. He's a child. So in other words, he's not yet chayiv in mitzvos. Okay, so you'll say there's a mitzvah of chinuch. So, okay, there is a mitzvah of chinuch, but there's another discussion, which the Gemara has a number of places, not here, whether or not, if you have a child holding Isser in his hand, about to eat it, are you obligated to rip it out of his hands? Meaning, certainly from a chinuch standpoint, you're not allowed to give it to him, but you have to rip it out of his hands. So this is a debate of whether or not based in Mitzuvim Lahafrisho Mina Isser. So Rashi points out over here in our daf that whatever position you may have on that topic, that really won't affect our issue over here. Look at Rashi. Even though you may normally hold that basin is now required to rip Isser out of the hand of a child. Okay, that's only after he has it in his hand. But you're not allowed to give a child an Isser in his hand. There's an Isser to hand Isser to a child. So therefore over here, it's an Isser d'oraisa, Isser d'rabbanan, its own separate discussion, but over here, the Tanna Kamma says that's the problem. The problem is that once I hand him this small little bug, it's cute, it's adorable, the child will be so happy. Problem is, once it dies, the child's going to eat it. And that's the Tanna Kamma's position. So the Gemara says, if you're really worried about that, so you can't even give him a kosher grasshopper because it's not dead yet. And the problem is he's going to put it into his mouth and eat it even before it's dead. And the Gemara tells the story, Rav Kahana v'kame kame derav. Rav Kahana was in front of Rav, v'hava kame aved, shushbe apume. And shushbe, okay, a type of kosher grasshopper. So he was kind of like putting it right on top of his mouth, you know, tasting it, licking it. I know, does not sound that appealing. You never know, you haven't tasted it yet. So I'm like, shakle de lo limra mechel ka'achale, the ka'avra mishum ba'al tishakso sasho sechem. So Rav says to Rav Kahana, don't do that. Because you're going to give the appearance that you're about to eat it, and you're not allowed to eat it because it's not dead. And there's a prohibition of eating these live shkatzim, these live grasshoppers. Now, not because, Tosfos makes this point very clear, not because of Eiver Menachai, and not because it doesn't require shechita, because it doesn't require shechita. Certain animals which you're allowed to eat do not require shechita. Notably, chagavim and dugim. Fish and grasshoppers. Fish and grasshoppers don't require shechita. But you can't eat them while they're alive. The reason being is because it's disgusting. And there's a prohibition in the Torah of not being disgusting. This is what we call Baal Teshaksu. So Rav says to Rav Kahana, you put it on your mouth, it looks like you're about to eat it, it looks like you're going to violate the Isra of Baal Teshaksu. So Dolo Leimer Mechel Kachal Evekav Mishum Baal Teshaksu Snafshar Sechem. Ela Dilma Mais V'Acholei. So the Gemara says, right, you're right. So, according to the Tanna Kamma, when it's alive, we're not worried about him eating it. According to Rav Yehuda, according to the Tanna Kamma, he's worried that once it dies, the child is going to eat it. And if you hand him a non-kosher grasshopper, so then he's going to go ahead and eat it. And Rav Yehuda's not worried. Why? Rav Yehuda, Yimayis Katan Misbeit Sapid Lei. And Rav Yehuda says no, because if it's a non-kosher species, you know what the child's going to do, right? We just had this in my house a couple weeks ago. It was sad, right? Gerbil died, so we had a funeral. Went into our backyard, dug up a little bit of earth. We had a hesped, we had a eulogy, and Maisa Shahaya, right in my house. So in other words, the child knows that this is not for eating, and the child, according to Rabbi Yehuda, will know that it needs to be buried in the ground, and he won't come to eat it. So therefore, what comes down to our Mishnah is, when it comes to these grasshoppers, what amount is significant? So if, according to the Tanakhama, if it's a kosher grasshopper, any amount becomes significant because you give it to your child to play with. And Rav Yehuda disagrees and says, no, even if it's not kosher. If it's not kosher, aren't we worried that the child's going to eat it? Rav Yehuda says, I'm not worried about that. Because children know that if it's a non-kosher type and it's dead, I don't eat it, we bury it in the ground, and we give it its proper respects. Hadrallah Chama Rabbi Akiva, that is the end of the ninth parak of Shabbos. We'll stop over here, obviously. Tomorrow we pick it up now with the new parak, the tenth parak of Shabbos. Going to continue Refuah Shleima for Binyamin Zev HaKohen Ben Sharon Rivka Rav Chananya Ben Akash Amar Tzakash Baruch Hu Zakri Sol Ficha Chayim Tor Mitzvah Shenemar Anai Chavetz Amantiko Yadil Tor Abiyadir.